Welcome to the Government Technology Insider podcast series. I'm your host, Matt Langan, and thank you for joining us today. As the coronavirus continues, many public sector agencies have to adopt greater teleworking initiatives than ever before to help meet the mission and deliver citizen services. But has this necessary rapid migration and adoption introduced some security vulnerabilities that will compromise the vital work of government? And how can agencies securely telework both during this pandemic and over the long term? Today, we are speaking with Alan Russell, Senior Manager of Public Sector Security at Verizon, and Brian Golden, Cybersecurity Solutions Executive at Verizon, further about this topic. And Alan and Brian, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for joining. Yeah, it's great to have you both today. And let's start at a high level. So from your perspective, how has the COVID-19 pandemic impacted federal agencies from a cybersecurity standpoint? And perhaps we'll start with Alan on this one.
Thanks, Matt. With over 70% of all internet traffic going over a Verizon network, we feel responsible to ensure everyone's information and data is secure for all agencies. Of course, we're using advanced AI, ML, and analytics to detect threats with the increase in traffic. And we're seeing a great deal of traffic with all the teleworking that's occurring right now. So the first wave really that's hitting the government, it's more focused on having the teleworking workforce operational and having enough bandwidth to support increased utilization of voice, video, and data. Of course, forward-thinking government CTOs and CISOs preparing for the next wave with the security defense right now, since the threat surface has dramatically increased with teleworking. These forward-thinking government officials are looking at where their vulnerabilities are, and that's just increased dramatically. So, Brian, would you like to comment on that?
Sure. I think the increased threat surface is particularly concern. You know, the remote workforce was not enabled, and IT administrators were really not given, nobody was given a heads up that, look, 95% of your workforce is going to be remote. They got a few days notice of that. And you have people who are remote workers who have very likely have never done a significant portion of, performed a significant portion of their job remotely. They very possibly are using their own device, their own computer, their own phone, and that is their own personal device. You know, some people don't have passwords on their Wi-Fi network. So the level of security that they're operating in, of cybersecurity that they're operating in, is substantially weaker than when they are in the office. I was thinking about a federal civilian customer. Our security operations center was notified that there was some suspicious traffic that was coming from their network. It was going to an address, an internet address of a server that our threat intelligence people had identified as a command and control server. And when we looked into it, we recognized that the traffic was coming from remote workers whose personal devices had been compromised. So that's a new, you know, that's an actual real world example of where we've seen that this, you know, sudden expansion of the remote workforce, the security is lagging behind it. And now that that capacity has been added, what we've just started to see is that now CISOs and IT cybersecurity specialists are looking at, okay, now we have to get the security of these remote workers up to par.
Great insights. You know, Brian, in many ways, you answered my next question, which are, what are the security concerns that agencies should be aware of given these rapid deployment of their telework efforts? But maybe we just dive a little bit deeper on that. And we'll start with you, Brian, and then go to Alan.
Sure. So with bring your own device, you know, a personal device, a, you know, a phone, a laptop gets almost commandeered into, in this case, into becoming a work asset. And the level of cybersecurity that is applied to federal assets is typically much greater than what people apply to their own personal assets. So when the, you know, the order was given that, you know, anybody who can work remotely needs to, their, you know, their personal equipment was suddenly made into work equipment, but you did not have the same level of cybersecurity on those devices. So, you know, somebody's personal computer happens to be compromised, and then they connect remotely to their work network, a bad actor can potentially have access to the internal network. And what we see in the cybersecurity industry is that once an attacker has penetrated a target, their ability to then move around inside that target is typically fairly straightforward for them. So they may come in as just a regular user, but once they're in, they're able to elevate their privileges to an administrator and essentially have free reign of the system.
Great. Alan, anything else to add on that one?
Yeah. Brian mentioned the bring your own device and the lack of security around these new devices that are gaining access to the agency's primary network. And there are things that can be done to mitigate those threats. One is a two-factor authentication in your VPN tunnel. The other area that is a threat that I don't think some agencies have considered are when working from home, there are now voice devices in everybody's home that can listen in while you're doing a Zoom or a WebEx video conferencing. Devices such as Alexa that are connected into the internet that can actually hear conversations. So these are all things that have to be taken into consideration while the increase of teleworking is becoming dominant way of doing business for agencies.
Yeah, that's a great segue there, because I imagine over the next 12 to 18 months, this telework paradigm that we're in now is going to continue. It's kind of the new reality that we're in. And you discussed this a little bit about mitigation strategies, but let's go a little bit deeper about some additional or deeper on what you've discussed already, mitigation strategies for cyber that agencies can do as teleworking now is the new norm. And well, Alan, maybe we'll stick with you on that one.
Okay, well, one of them that we're seeing, and it's been reported in the press, some of the DDoS attacks that are occurring, major agencies have been hit with DDoS attacks. While we're just getting up and running with teleworkers, some nation states have upped their attack on us while we are trying to handle the current influx of users. So we're seeing a lot of DDoS attacks that are hitting, and if you get a DDoS attack, your entire network is down for a period of time, and the cost of that is just astronomical. And so some agencies are starting to prepare for that, both in terms of DOD, civilian, and state and local. And we're also seeing state and local now being more concerned with some of the things that the federal government is put in place, such as FedRAMP certification is becoming more important now as state and local organizations are really upping the security that they're requiring.
Great insights there. Brian, anything else to add on that one?
Yeah, you know, Alan brings up a great point, Matt, with the distributed denial of service attacks where a bad actor has typically, you know, infected a large number of devices. They could be computers or Internet of Things devices, home thermostats, and at a specific moment directs them to essentially attack a particular asset. And we saw this happen to a federal agency right after the general directive of, you know, work from home was given. And when that directive was given, you know, remote access went from being a convenience, something that was, you know, in place that, you know, a small number, relatively speaking, of people took advantage of, to becoming a critical business asset. And that remote access was not typically something that was protected like a critical business asset. And it needs to be, because if that remote access capability comes under a DDoS attack now, all work stops. There is no connection. So the consequences of having an insufficiently protected remote access capability are much more dire than they were just 2 months ago.
Yeah, I really appreciate both of your times today for this podcast. And we are at the tail end. And before we sign off, I wanted to see if there was any final thoughts or anything we may have missed. And we'll start with Brian on that one.
So when I think the one thing, Matt, you mentioned earlier, where the next 12 to 18 months are, we're certainly going to continue to see change. I think you're spot on there. We had a majority of workers just thrust into having to work remotely. A lot of these workers haven't worked remotely before. They haven't had the training, cybersecurity training on how to protect yourself and how to practice good cyber hygiene. So there's going to be an extended period of education. We're certainly only beginning to see and understand the changes to the cybersecurity landscape due to COVID.
Thanks, Brian. Alan, any parting shots?
Yeah, one thing I'm saying is Verizon has our own technologies, but we're working with a lot of different vendors more now to bring new technologies together. And I'm seeing we're all working together to fight this pandemic and try to secure the government and industry so that we can all make this through it. So I want to thank you for giving us the time to talk today, and it was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you both for your time. And this is a wrap for this podcast interview, where Alan Russell, Senior Manager, Public Sector Security at Verizon, and Brian Golden, Cybersecurity Solutions Executive at Verizon, both discussed how federal agencies can best securely telework, both during this pandemic and over the long term in this new reality that we all face. And we would like to thank you all for listening to this episode of the Government Technology Insider podcast series. Be sure to join us for future episodes where we continue to speak with Verizon experts about a wide range of topics with regard to COVID-19. And Alan and Brian, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Matt.